Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Mark DeVere from Constellation. How are you, Mark?
Excellent, thank you, Chris.
Excellent. Nice bright start there on a Thursday morning. Did you have a hard night last night?
It wasn't too hard. It involved some fine wine drinking.
Excellent. We're at the London International Wine Fair at the moment, and you work for Constellation, or Robert Mondavi in particular.
Yeah, for Robert Mondavi Winery, but in general for what we call Constellation Academy of Wine, which is our training and education team.
All right, and you are, it says you're the director of that, and a master of wine as well.
Indeed.
Quite a young-looking master of wine. Most of them look pretty tired by the time they're finished.
Well, thank you very much.
I shouldn't have really said that. That's not very nice for all the MWs. But what we're going to talk about today is a quick overview of California, but I really want to zoom in on Sonoma County.
Sounds great.
Brilliant. But let's just start a wee bit with California, because I think of California almost as a large mass with things like Napa and Sonoma and, you know, the subregions and all that sort of stuff. But Americans tend to divide it up slightly differently to that.
California is a very complex and very diverse wine growing area, and we get a lot of different climates, a lot of different soil types, and that's partly why we're able to grow such a great diversity of wine styles there. Not only different varieties, because we have a huge range of climates that will suit different varieties, but also different sort of quality potentials. So we can make everything from sort of fulfilling the need for everyday drinking wine all the way up to really world-class wines from some of the coastal valleys and coastal regions like Sonoma or Napa.
Okay. If you were to take a really broad brush approach to California wines, how would you carve it up?
I would start by pointing out the main geographical influence on the climate, which is the Pacific Ocean. And if you look at the whole continent of the United States, there's a little bit of wine grown in every state, but mostly the high quality wines and the wines we know about all come from the West Coast. A little bit of great wine made in Oregon, some beautiful wines made in Washington State, but California produces about 93% of the wines grown in the United States. So it's by far the most important state for wine growing. And what that makes that possible is this very, very cold ocean current that flows down the coast of California. I think often when people have mental images of California in their mind, people think of sunshine and swimming on the beach and that sort of
Baywatch.
Baywatch. So if you're watching that sort of cultural contribution like Baywatch, that's all in Southern California. And when you get down to Los Angeles, down to San Diego, the water off the coast there has come from the south, and it's a much warmer water current. But just north of Los Angeles, the city of Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara County is a turning point in the climate, because it's a turning point in the water. And all the way down the north coast and the central coast of California, all the way down to Santa Barbara, there's a really, really cold ocean current flowing down from Alaska. Even in the middle of summer, the water off the coast is never above about 10 degrees Celsius, so it's always too cold to swim comfortably. And that cold air is going to bring not only cold winds coming off that water, but also a lot of fog. And so very important parts of the California climate, the coastal California climate, is this influence of cold air and fog. And the biggest thing to understand that's going to make sense of everything else we talk about California growing regions, is how much influence you get of this cold, cold air and fog coming off the ocean.
Okay. And it's normally divided up above San Francisco and below San Francisco into a sort of a north coast, a central coast, which is below San Francisco, and then a central valley.
So the big division you're looking at first there, Chris, is the difference between what we might call the coastal regions. And so back to what I was just referring to, that coastal influence, the coastal valleys of California, where they get this beautifully moderated influence of cold air, tend to be the most premium regions. And as you say, there's north of San Francisco, we'd call the North Coast. South of San Francisco down to Santa Barbara, we'd call the Central Coast.
Okay.
And one of the strange geographical features of California is that the valleys along the coast, tend to run parallel to the coast. So the mountain ranges, the coastal ranges, as we call them, run parallel to the coast. Very different from what a lot of people think of in, you know, geography class. You tend to think of rivers start in the mountains, carving valleys going down towards the sea.
Yep.
But that's not the case in California. These valleys were formed by the Pacific Ocean plate pushing under the continent of North America, pushing up these ridges.
Yep.
So they're parallel. And what that does is forms a pretty substantial barrier against the cold air flowing in. So this means that with the valleys running parallel to the ocean, you get a huge difference. Right beside the coast in California, it's too cold to ripen wine grapes. San Francisco, if you've ever been to the city of San Francisco in the summer, it's notoriously cold. It's often daytime high in July, often doesn't get above 15, 16 degrees. So it's always too cold to grow wine grapes right beside the coast. But then if you come sort of 10, 20 miles inland, away from the really strong cooling influence, you get just enough cooling influence to start to be able to ripen the cooler climate varieties, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, that love that cold air.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, further into the valleys you come, the further away from the ocean influence you get, it starts to be beautiful areas for growing Cabernet Sauvignon, those varieties that like a bit more heat. The Central Valley you mentioned is sort of east of the coastal ranges, and they're areas that don't get nearly so much of the cooling influence off the ocean. There's one gap in the coastal ranges by San Francisco Bay coming up the Sacramento River Delta, and there's an area called Lodi, and they do get some of the cooling influence, the delta breeze in the evening, and that's really significant. Most of the Central Valley stays warm at night, and it's hot in the daytime, warm at night, and great for growing, well, everyday quality grapes.
Volume wines.
Volume wines. You don't often see really high, if I put it commercial terms, the wines from that area don't normally command high commercial prices. Let me put it that way around.
Let's zoom in on the North Coast, and in particular, Sonoma County. Do you call it Sonoma County or Sonoma, or what do you call it?
Well, it's a... When we talk about Napa and Sonoma, there are two things. There's a political thing and a geographical thing. So you'll hear some people talking Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, and you'll hear people talking Napa County and Sonoma County.
Yeah.
And there's also a city of Napa and a city of Sonoma. When you talk about Napa, I know that's not the focus, but the city of Napa is in the south end of Napa Valley, and Napa Valley wine growing region is almost identical to Napa County. Sonoma's a different case. Sonoma Valley is just one small sub-region within Sonoma County. So there's two answers to that. When we talk about Sonoma, Sonoma County is a relatively large sort of political zone. Sonoma Valley is a relatively small, what we call AVA, or American Viticulture Area. It's like an appellation.
So Sonoma Valley is just a sub-region of Sonoma, and is all the grapes Sonoma County grown in Sonoma Valley?
No. So Sonoma Valley is just one small sub-region, and there are a lot of grapes grown in other sub-regions of Sonoma County. And Sonoma is a wonderfully diverse region, because Sonoma, as you know, looking at the map, we're going from about 30 minutes north of San Francisco, driving-wise, up to maybe an hour and a half north of San Francisco, if you were to drive northwards. It's the county north of San Francisco, but right next to the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's right next to the coast, there are some very, very cool regions. There are regions where it's just too cold to plant grapes. And then as you come in through the hills and move away from the ocean, there are some beautiful cool regions. There's an AVA that we call Sonoma Coast, and some very exciting cool climate Pinot Noirs, cool climate Chardonnays in that relatively large catch-all appellation of Sonoma Coast. Russian River Valley is one of the rivers that flows in from the coast, and again,
they're quite well known for their Pinots.
Well known for Pinot Noir, because it's a pretty cool area.
Mm-hmm.
And then the further inland you come, actually Sonoma Valley itself is one of the more inland areas. A lot of diversity even within Sonoma Valley, but Sonoma Valley may be more famous for Cabernet Sauvignon and for some of the fuller-bodied reds and some beautiful old vine Zinfandels and that sort of thing.
I've got a map in front of me from Genesis's and Hugh Johnson's Concise Wine.
An excellent
Concise
reference.
World Atlas of Wine.
Yes.
I was just looking at it. I can't see Russian River there. Is it part of Sonoma?
It is part of Sonoma. You're correct. It's not noted on this. That's the California map. I bet
if we had
a look on the Sonoma County map. It's definitely a sub-region of Sonoma County. Here you can see it here. So here's the Russian River Valley.
Yep.
And you can see Russian River Valley comes from sort of north corners on the by the little town of Healdsburg, a beautiful, picturesque little town based around a little city square. And then we come south of there and over towards the west. And the Russian River, named after, historically, interestingly, some of the first, as it were, European settlers in the north coast of California were Russian traders. And
okay.
So there's a few hints or memories of the Russian settlers who were there hundreds of years ago. So the Russian River then flows towards the ocean, and the cold air, conversely, comes up the river valley. Yes. And
do you get the same issues that you get in Napa, where you get fog coming in the mornings?
Absolutely. Full of fog in coming in the mornings, and before that, cold air coming in the evenings. One of the sort of weather patterns on a pretty much every day, as it warms up inland, the hot air rises, and as the hot air rises, it forms a sort of suction at ground level, and so you get this cool air coming in up the river valleys or where the land is low enough. So you get this beautiful cold wind coming in, and then, as you say, in the middle of the night, in the mornings, that gets followed by fog coming in, and you'll often wake up and find the coastal valleys and the coastal regions shrouded in fog or low cloud. And often, even in the summer, when sun might rise at 5:30 in the morning, often the fog or the cloud won't burn off until 10, sometimes even 11 o'clock. And that's really significant because, of course, it slows down the heat generation. And that's
yep.
partly what keeps us nice and cool. And then the fog will burn off. The sun comes out. We've got this beautiful California sunshine. It'll often get into the 30s, mid-30s, sometimes on hot days even higher. And then almost always, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll start feeling this beautiful cool breeze being pulled in, and the temperature drops again. Beautiful for living in, and of course, great for grapes.
Okay. You said Sonoma is famous for Cabernet Sauvignons.
Sonoma's famous for a lot of things. Sonoma Valley inland is famous for Cabernet Sauvignons. Also, one of the more inland, but north of Sonoma Valley, inland area of Alexander Valley is
yeah.
probably also most famous for Cabernet Sauvignon. So Alexander Valley being the sub-appellation within Sonoma County.
So I've seen quite a lot of Zinfandel from Alexander Valley.
Absolutely. Alexander Valley, and right next to there, Dry Creek is also considered by some the one of the finest places for growing Zinfandel. It's an area that's relatively hot, and Zinfandel likes a bit of heat. Often.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Not always. There are some very interesting cooler climate sites for Zinfandel, but typically some of those very recognizable, rich, full-fruited style of Zinfandels, often Dry Creek. And then Alexander Valley and Dry Creek often keep a good structure and good tannin in the Zinfandel. But being a relative, when we talk about hot, we're still talking relative to being a coastal region. So they still get the cool nights, and it still keeps the crispness and the freshness and the acidity and the brightness in the flavors that set the, and of course, the concentration in the flavors that you get in the coastal regions.
A lot of this seems to be based around valleys as opposed to just plains of land. Are they generally planted in the valley or more on the hills?
Very diverse, depending on where you are in California and where you are in the valley. Much more so than in Europe, I'd say California has more vineyards, more high-quality vineyards, planted on relatively flat growing areas. And a couple of reasons for that. There are some beautiful, well-drained soils, often not on the totally flat land, but at the base of the hills. Often they're over the millennia, as waters have drained off the hills on the sides of the valley, as they hit the valley floor, the water fans out, and the gravelier, freer draining soil tends to be at the base of the hills or the very low slopes of the hills.
You often find they're quite, at the base of hills, quite fertile areas. You know, valleys are normally quite fertile. So do you have problems with vigor with your vines?
So right at the base of the hills, we often find it's less fertile. In the center of the valley sometimes, or the further the water, as it were, flowed down off the hills, there the soil starts to get a bit fertile. And we often don't prefer the land sort of at the base of the valley floor, as it were. But at the foot of the hills is often the sweet spot, not too fertile. The vines grow beautifully. conversely, up on the hillsides in California, there's often not enough soil. There are some great mountain sites and some wonderful sort of mountain appellations. Sonoma Mountain has its own AVA, and there's some, and over in Sonoma Coast, there are some sites up on the hills where they get above the fog, and that's what makes it possible to grow grapes up there. But a lot of the sort of faces of the hillsides in many parts of California just don't have enough soil or enough fertility or enough water retention to be able to grow vines.
Okay, that's interesting, because if you look at things like Burgundy, all the Grand Cru vineyards are in the middle of the hills usually.
Yeah.
And that's usually because at the top it's a bit cold.
Yep.
In the middle side you've got good slopes, so you have very little water retention and not particularly fertile as well, with all the good soils effectively draining off, running off the hill into the valleys.
Yep.
Where the cheaper Burgundy is at the bottom.
Visually, I absolutely agree. You see something that looks a very different sort of landscape if you drive through, if you drive up Sonoma Valley or if you drive up Napa Valley, totally different from driving through Burgundy or through Germany. In a lot of those European regions, the valley floor is not planted and the hillsides are covered in vines. If you drive up Napa Valley or Sonoma Valley, it's the floor of the valleys that have the vines on, and the hills are mostly covered in trees. And part of that, though, is that we're dealing with not only different soils, but very different climate and different needs for growing grapes. In Burgundy, the sweet spot, the Grand Cru sites in the slope, the soils there are much deeper, much more fertile, much more soil on them. If you look at the hillsides in California, there's often hardly any soil on a lot of those slopes. Another thing, though, is that slopes are much more important in Burgundy, you were referencing, because they get often about half of their annual rainfall comes during the growing season of the vine.
Yeah.
And so they need that intense drainage to get the water away from the vines while they're growing leaves. In California, we have dry summers.
It rains in sunny California, mate.
It rains a lot in the winter, and we get pretty heavy rainfall a lot over the winter, which of course is essential, but summers are fairly reliably mostly dry, and so that need for drainage is not quite so important.
Where does the fog sit? I would have thought maybe the fog sits halfway up the hill anyway, and you don't really want to be in a fog zone. You want to be below it or above it, so that particularly if you're growing some grapes, if it's quite foggy, you're wet, you got mold issues.
Yeah, that's probably a consideration. Fog can be at different levels. Sometimes it's right on the valley floor. Often, driving up the valley in the morning, it's you're driving through fog. And so it is literally on the valley floor. But sometimes you look up and it's, 100 feet, 200 feet up, and it's sort of low cloud bank. Same effect, shading the valley. But it comes at different levels. And talking about humidity, though, often once it burns off, the air gets pretty dry and it's relatively low humidity. So we're fairly fortunate in not having too much disease pressure despite that fog.
Okay, we've touched on Russian River, reasonably famous, I think, for Pinot Noir, as you said. Dry Creek and Alexandre Valley, which you've sort of said are good Cabernet Sauvignons.
Yep.
I quite like Zinni from Alexandre Valley. But there's a few others. There's Chalk Hill,
yep,
which I've never heard of, Creek Valley and Knight Valley. What are they like?
So Knights Valley is the furthest inland area, and so that's a very nice area for Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know the exact proportions, but I'm sure it's almost entirely dominated by Cabernet Sauvignon and related varieties, and grows some very nice, firmly structured Cabernet Sauvignon. Chalk Hill, again, over on the east side, a relatively warm area.
I presume it's got chalk underneath it.
I'm not sure about that.
It's not really chalk.
I can't answer that. There's not a lot of limestone-based soils in the north coast. In the central coast, there are parts, but probably not that much chalk there. I can't vouch for that entirely. I don't think there's chalk in that part of the world.
All
there
right.
Aren't any Knights in Knights Valley either.
What about Green Valley? I presume it's all dry and brown then.
In summer, it will be mostly brown when it hasn't rained for a few months, indeed.
And what does that mainly produce, Green Valley?
Well, it's known as being one of the cooler appellations. So Chardonnay and Pinot Noir are what are most famous in that area. And it's sort of a sub-region in some ways of the Sonoma Coast concept of this area, getting that cooler coastal region influence. Oh, and then Carneros, of course, is an interesting area. It's one of the few appellations or AVAs in California that crosses state lines. And so Carneros is the area at the north end of San Francisco Bay. Technically, that little bit at the top is known as San Pablo Bay, but it's really San Francisco Bay. And just when you come out of the heavy flatland marshes, when the rolling hills start to rise up above the salt plains and the marshland, there are beautiful rolling hills, which is a pretty cool climate. And Carneros then is the southernmost end of Napa Valley, and it's also the southernmost end of Sonoma Valley and Sonoma County. So it crosses the county lines and those AVA Valley lines. And Carneros is the coolest part of Napa, and so that's where if you get great Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs from Napa, they're almost always grown in the Carneros subregion. And it's the coolest part of Sonoma Valley, but it's not the coolest part of Sonoma County. There are areas over the coast in Sonoma County that are even cooler.
Well, like Sonoma Mountains and Bennett Valley and things like that?
Sonoma Mountain is a higher elevation site. It sits above the west side of Sonoma Valley. And higher elevation sites are interesting because they have very different soils, what they call weathered in place soils. So soils that are eroded up there rather than the alluvial, colluvial soils we were talking about on the valley floor and the benches.
Yep.
But also being above the fog, they get a very different weather pattern. They often heat up earlier in the morning if they're above the fog, but then they don't get quite as hot during the middle of the day because of the elevation. And then they don't get such an intense influence of the cold air coming in the evenings because that's getting sucked in at ground level. And then they'll cool down, but then often be above the fog, so heat up again in the morning. So very different pattern to the weather. Sonoma Mountain, there's some very interesting Cabernet Sauvignon grown up there and Bordeaux-type varieties, but there's also some great Chardonnay and whites up there. It's almost marginal for Cabernet Sauvignon in some sites.
Okay, and I presume if it's got a lot of rocky sort of soils, it's going to hold on to the heat during the day anyways.
There's some beautiful Chardonnays with great acidity. There's some good Pinot Noir, which still have good acidity. And the Cabernets from up there, as I say, being more marginal for Cabernet Sauvignon, they're often on the crisper end, as it were, of Cabernet Sauvignon. So it's
not quite 100%
clear.
Yeah,
different. Often, I might say there's a little mountain fruit in general in California, this big picture generalization, but there's often the potential for a slightly stronger flavor profile in the mountain fruit, and often a potential for a slightly more mellow feel to the profile of valley floor.
Is that because they've maybe had a longer growing season up in the hills?
I think it's partly because of the soil, and often in the hills the vines are more stressed. There are shallower, poorer soils, which can bring out a strength in the tannins often in particular. But I think there's something about the fog, just the way it cools the skins of the grapes and they don't develop such harsh tannins. Or such strong tannins, I should say. It's hard to say exactly what it is about those climates that's causing exactly what effects. But there is, in general, a sort of big picture difference between the fruit grown on the hillside above the fog level and valley floor fruit.
Brilliant. Okay, then, Mark, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Great talking with you, Chris.
Cheers, bud.